Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. This is the second of two messages entitled The Blessed Man and the Virtuous Woman. We mentioned at the beginning of the first message, when we talk about these things, we cannot take them religiously. It's an extremely damaging thing to take something like this, a doctrine like this, a message like this, religiously. If I take a message like this religiously, then I will say I must perform this. But that is not how God gave it, nor is it how I can take it. If I take it in that way, I have totally misunderstood what the Word of God is saying. God had never asked me to perform anything. But He will give me a vision of what He will transform me into. For example, I know that I have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Am I right now in the pure image of His Son? No. There are times that I have when I have failures, perhaps, weaknesses, problems, where I have lack of understanding. So I cannot say I am always in the perfect image of His Son. Do I have times when I do reflect the image of His Son? Yes, I do. But it is somewhat inconsistent. But the issue here is I don't have to perform the image of His Son. The image of His Son is what God said He will transform me into. Likewise, when we hear messages or read passages about things like the blessed man, what is a man who is right before God, or a virtuous woman, what is a woman who is right before God, I have to realize this is something God transforms me into. It is not something that I can perform. If I think that I can perform this, then if I come up short, I will be condemned. My self-image can take a beating that way. But the fact of the matter is, it's not what I am to perform. It is God telling me what He will transform me into. So when you hear messages of this sort, do not think this is the standard that I must attain to or the standard that I should attain to but cannot. You are thinking incorrectly if this is how you approach these types of messages or scriptures. There is a man who is right with God, and there is a woman who is right with God. And in certain elements of their life, they will look similar in the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. But certain other elements, they will be different. And today we're looking at a little bit of both the similarities and the differences. And in the first part we talked about the man, and in this part we'll talk about the woman. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, the Word of God says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. And now, my daughter, fear not." Ruth was hearing the heart of God in this. "And now, my daughter, fear not." One of the things that the enemy through our culture has instilled in women is great fear. He's instilled fear largely because of things like advertising, different things, misconceptions, what a woman should be, what a woman is, what a good woman is, what a good woman is not. But the world doesn't know the first thing about what a woman is. And unfortunately, in much of Christianity, they don't know what a good woman is either. A godly woman. There's a strange mentality that's slightly legalistic and just slightly plain old weird about what a woman is. But it's not what she is. But the first thing that God wants her to know is, my daughter, fear not. Why? Because it's exactly what Satan initiated to her. And so God is saying, don't have that in your life which Satan has initiated to you. Don't be afraid. Because it was the fear of Eve that led to the fall of Adam. And so God doesn't want her to be afraid. Why? Because if she is not afraid, if she is confident and bold toward the character of God, then she'll draw near to Him and He can make her into anything that He desires her to be. The full potential of a woman will never be realized as long as there is fear in her heart. So He says, now my daughter, fear not. Women are so afraid often because they lack the mind of Christ in the filling of the Holy Spirit. They become so afraid of things like not being acceptable or accepted, not being significant or not being loved. They feel like they're going to somehow be less than or not live up to whatever somebody expects of them. This is exactly what Satan would like to project. But the Word of God says, my daughter, fear not. Why does a woman not have to be afraid? Because God has made her beautiful. God said, I'm going to create the man. But God created the woman to answer a need. God created the man to form a being. God created a woman because there was need. So God saw that on earth there was a need for a woman. Why was there a need for a woman? Because there is something about women that is unique that can meet the need of love and nurturing and caring, of edification of a heart sort. This is why Jesus, the people who were the closest to Jesus, albeit His apostles were very close to Him, especially Peter, James, and John, and He did a great deal of investment in them because they were going to be the founders of the church age along with Paul. But who was it that came and loved the Savior? The apostles were very good at receiving the Savior's love. But who was it that came and loved the Savior? It was the women that were with Him. They ministered to His need. They cared for Him. They're the ones who went to wash His body and anoint it after He had been crucified. It was the women. Because women have a very unique and special design. And unfortunately, in this age, in this culture, and what Satan has done, that design has been utterly corrupted. And I'm not talking because of the fall, I'm talking because of the modern mentality. That design has been utterly corrupted. Women do not know what it means to be a woman. Any more than men nowadays know what it means to be a man. Women are trained, you see it all the time among the young ladies in like the high schools. Women are trained to destroy themselves. Because they see in themselves no value and no worth. And so they are trained to pursue value and worth in a way that is apart from the mind of God, in a way that is arbitrary and even vague. They are told to go pursue an end, and the end has never actually been quite defined. That is Satan's strategy against women. Like, take a look at these young women who want to be beautiful because a computer graphic of a female that has been touched up in 50 different ways to make her look like somebody completely different than the original photograph started out with. It was somebody's imagination who they are actually looking at, not a real person. How many of these young girls want to look like that woman that somebody made up on a computer? And what is it that they do, and how do they know they have attained? There's the problem. They are told pursue, but they do not know what attainment means. And so they pursue and pursue and pursue, and all their life these women pursue until they finally get into a bad marriage with somebody who was not the right person for them all too frequently, end up in a divorce, get so hurt and so scarred and so calloused that now they have no capacity whatsoever to receive from their Savior. But that is not God's design of women. God's design of women was the perfect solution to a profound need. God's design for women was to be the practical manifestation of God's love on earth. That is God's design for women. The culture today tells both young men and young women, be entirely self-centered. Be all about what makes you feel good. Yet in that self-centered feel-good mentality, they completely lose the one thing that they have been looking for. Fulfillment from God. And it manifests itself as they try to produce an appearance of one thing, when in fact, in their hearts, in their homes, in their private lives, in the privacy, when nobody sees them, they are somebody completely different, and they know it. But they are too afraid to let anyone see for fear that they would somehow be rejected. And so God says, my daughter, fear not. Do you realize that the design of a woman is amazingly beautiful before God? Women were made beautiful. They were meant to be God's manifestation of love on earth. They were meant to be beautiful. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. You see, this is the thing about women and God. God will do for them all that they need for Him to do. I believe that God has a special gentleness toward women who respond to Him. Just like the Savior did when He was here on earth. Notice that it was a woman who came and washed His feet with her hair and her tears. And the tender response that He had toward her. I believe He has a special tenderness toward women. Or the woman caught in adultery that was dragged out half naked in front of Him, and they wanted to stone her, and He answered her with such tenderness. even in her failure. Today, women, unfortunately, have lost sight of what they mean to God. Any woman who knows what she means to God is a woman who's going to love that Savior so much that nothing else will matter. Mary Magdalene did not care what anybody thought. Mary, the sister of Martha, did not care what anybody thought. The woman who washed his feet with her hair and tears did not care what anybody thought, because they received the love of the Savior. A woman's design is to be a manifestation of that love. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now, what is he talking about? First of all, this is Boaz talking to Ruth. And what did he mean that for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman? What was it about Ruth's life? Well, the very first thing that Ruth displayed was unbelievable godly loyalty. She would not leave Naomi. She displayed tremendous loyalty. Nothing else mattered, nothing else tempted her. She had the loyalty in her heart because she received the love of God. She decided what she knew was important was in fact important. She decided that God's way and God's truth and God's life was exactly what she wanted, and there was nothing else that she was at all even remotely interested in. In the very verse prior to this, in verse 10, Boaz commends Ruth. He said, You have been kind to me. You have done me well. You've been kind. You did not pursue after the young men. Tremendous loyalty, because she decided, she knew that what was right with God was what was right for her life. And so the young men, because she was a young woman, the young men had zero interest for her. They meant nothing to her, because she had decided God's way is the way she had desired. And so she did not pursue. And she had ample opportunity, because they did pursue her. But she did not pursue. She did not go with them. She did not want them. She wanted what God had for her. Why? Because if she took them, she would have forfeited God's plan. So she had tremendous loyalty. She had tremendous faithfulness. The first characteristic of a woman of God is loyalty. Three women at the cross. The cross was a dangerous place to be. They never ran away. The men all ran away. The women, there is no record of the women ever running away. The ones who eventually became the apostles did. Big burly fisherman runs away when a little girl scares him. But not the women. The women were right there at the cross. Why? They loved. Because they loved. They were tremendously loyal because they loved. Show me a person who lacks loyalty. I'll show you one who lacks love. She was extraordinarily faithful. Ruth was extraordinarily faithful. So where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. A woman of God has tremendous faithfulness. She doesn't waver. She never did. Ruth did not hedge for one moment. She didn't think about it twice. Where your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. She knew her call and she was sticking with it. She loved the ways of God. She absolutely loved the ways of God. When Naomi pointed out her kinsman redeemer, she didn't worry about sight. She didn't care about sight. She loved the ways of God. This is the right way to do it, Naomi said to her. And Ruth went after it. The ways of God were her only option. For the woman of God, the ways of God are the only option. There is no compromise. There is no second plan B. There is no other way. There is nothing other that is acceptable. Only the ways of God. She trusted God beyond her sight. It made no sense for her to go after Boaz. He was 80 years old. More than likely, at least 60 years older than she was. Or in that ballpark, 50, 60 years older. And made no sense whatsoever. But she trusted God and she trusted God's ways and she trusted how God planned things in her life. And she knew that if she did it right with God, it didn't matter what it looked like, it would be right. And so her only concern wasn't what other people may have thought, because even in those days that was unusual. She wanted one thing only. She wanted God's way, and she trusted God for that way, even though by sight it made no sense. And she trusted God beyond reason. Because it would have been so easy for her to tell herself, he's 80 years old. That's just insane. He's 80 years old. She didn't care. She didn't care. Why? She trusted God beyond reason. She didn't try to figure it out. She just trusted Him. She knew it was right. She knew it was God's plan. It was God's will. It was God's way. That's all that mattered. The woman of God will not look for sight or reason. The woman of God will look for the ways of God. The woman of God responds to Him in faith, trusting Him for the things of her life. Knowing that His ways are, though they may be above her ways, and though His thoughts may be above her thoughts, His ways were perfect ways, and His thoughts were perfect thoughts. And so she trusted. And when she trusted, she entered into a life that she could have never dreamt. That she would be among the grandmothers of the Savior. That she would be the grandmother to the great King. Because she trusted God. Can you imagine if Ruth refused to trust God, walked by sight and tried to figure things out on her own? There would be no David. There would be no root of David. The lineage of the Savior would have been disrupted. The mighty calling that was on her life was beyond measure and beyond understanding. A woman of God, if she is willing, will walk into a calling that is beyond anybody's understanding. It won't necessarily make sense. Amy Carmichael, how many years was she laid up in bed? But what a prayer warrior. What a love for the people of China that she had. What a prayer warrior. And she prayed and she prayed, and for all those years she prayed until God healed her. She did not know she would be healed. But she knew how to pray. What a calling. To soften up the enemy territory so that when she was healed and entered as a missionary, it was prepared. What a mighty calling. But that's not a calling you can enter without knowing the heart of God. Women are designed to manifest the heart of God. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, and this is such a much maligned and utterly misunderstood passage by those who are made insecure because they think they have to perform. The Word of God says, who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous, there is hail. And it means internal strength of God's character. Who can find a woman that has the internal strength of God's character? This is what a virtuous woman is. We know that it is mental excellence. But what does that really mean? It means that there is an internal strength because God's character has been manifested because it has been developed in her. And it pours from her. And so she is virtuous. God's character has been developed through God's processes, God's challenges, God's trial, God's way, through building herself up in her most holy faith, through responding to what she has heard in faith and mixing faith with what she hears so that she can have that, what she heard, as a frame of reference. She doesn't take the Word of God and apply it to her intellect. That's what happens when I don't mix faith with what I hear. I receive it in my intellect. I think to myself, okay, now I have the information. Go perform it. Never happened. You'll never succeed that way. You'll get a frustrated believer that way. I know I ought to, but I can't. That's because the Word that has entered in for you has only entered into your intellect, but not into your frame of reference. Because faith was not mixed. You took it as information rather than life truth. Often people who do that, their life truth is their emotional condition. And that is why they cannot take it as anything more than information, because they're trying to satisfy an emotional condition with the information. Doesn't work. The only way my emotional condition is going to be satisfied is that the Word of God becomes my frame of reference. And for that, I have to mix faith with what I hear so that it profits me, so that it builds me, it prospers me. The virtuous woman knows how to mix faith with what she hears. For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And we mentioned in part one that even for the unmarried woman, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. In other words, Christ is her husband already. She is the bride of Christ. His heart knows her capacity that he can trust her to respond to him. So God trusts her. The heart of her husband trusts in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The opposite of that is what people are being trained to today. Listen to this in Proverbs 9:13. Tell me if this is not what the world is training young women to. A foolish woman is clamorous. Isn't this what young people, young women are being trained towards today? To be clamorous? To be self-oriented, self-centered, I want what I want. Hey, if I don't get it now, I'm going to throw a fit. I saw a funny mug recently. It was a teenage girl, no offense to the young ladies, you're not like this, but it was a teenage girl. It said, I saw, I wanted, I threw a fit, I got it. But isn't this what young women are being trained toward nowadays? To be clamorous, to be self-oriented, to be very emotionally oriented. If it's in my emotions, this is all that really matters. Are trained to be clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Yet the things of truth escape this generation. Our generation too, the generation before ours also. This is how the world treats women. This is how it trains them. Hey, be self-centered. Be self-centered. Do for yourself. It's all about you. You know nothing. You know nothing. It's not all about you. It's all about the Savior. It's all about manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. It's all about the love of God. It's all about when you deal with someone having the love of God shed abroad in your life. How many young women nowadays have the love of God shed abroad in their life? But the godly young women do have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. They're not clamorous. Because they're not self-centered. It's not about their emotions and their feelings, as the enemy would like to train them. What is it about? The inner strength of God's character. A peace that passes understanding. A joy that the world cannot comprehend. Because they live in the presence of the Spirit of God. That's what it's about. They can be old, they can be young, it doesn't matter. That's what it's about. That's what a woman was designed for. And continuing in verse 25, you see that little list of what she all does. That little list is not a list of must-dos. That little list is simply what in Solomon's day the results were, what women did in their homes. These are not must-dos. These are God will transform. But how did those women get there? Well, it's in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. What makes her strong? The joy of the Lord makes her strong. Why does it make her strong? Because in His presence there is fullness of joy. So this is a woman who lives in the presence of God, who practices the presence of God. What does it mean to practice the presence of God? That means that I live with the constant awareness that God is present. He's not out there somewhere in the sky. And He's not just within the depths of my own heart. He is present here in the room. He sees and He hears and He knows and He understands. He is present. And this is how she becomes virtuous, because she lives in the presence of God. This is where that strength and that honor comes. She is honorable because she lives in the presence of God. Her decisions are right decisions. She practices self-control and self-restraint because she lives in the presence of God. She does not discount God in her daily details. He is there and she knows it. He is real to her. Why? Because He is real. Where can I hide from Thy presence, Lord? Nowhere. There is no place. If you could leave the planet, you still couldn't hide from Him. And she knows this. And she doesn't want to hide from Him. She receives the love of God that she was created for. And she runs to Him. She runs to Him. She keeps herself built up in His Word. By the way, ladies, this is impossible if you are not built up consistently in His Word. Because it is not something you can produce. I listen to doctrine and I mix faith with what I hear. I read my Bible, I pray, meditate, I get built up in the Word of God. And when I mix faith with what I hear, I become transformed by it. You see, the point will come for all of us, not just women, but it will manifest itself differently in men and women. But the point will come where I will be tested in my reins. He will try my reins. What does that mean? He's going to try my emotions. Because it's all going to come out in my emotions. If I am properly built up, if I have the Word of God as my frame of reference and not how it feels, then the woman will be virtuous. If my frame of reference is how it feels, then I can try to get built up all day long and it will have no impact. Why? Wrong frame of reference. But the virtuous woman, strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Because she lives in the presence of God, she has great joy. And even in the details of her life, she has great joy. Because in His presence, she is fellowshipping with Him. How does that work? Have you ever been in a room while you were busy and somebody was there with you, and as you were doing the things you need to do, you were talking to them? It's that simple. But if you don't believe He's that real, that will be a strange concept. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. What does it mean to open her mouth with wisdom? Very simple. She knows how to speak doctrinally, what to say and when to say it. That's wisdom. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and what is the result of her opening her mouth with wisdom? Get this, because this is something that the world so opposes in women. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Isn't it so that today's strategy of the enemy against women is a venomous tongue? A tongue that cuts rather than edifies? A tongue that responds to a bad emotion rather than taking the bad emotion to the cross and letting the Word of God heal whatever needs to be healed? And instead, a woman will frequently take her tongue and use it as a weapon to destroy. Isn't this what the enemy has trained women to do? It's very common. I hear it every single day among the young people. It's very common. Why? Because their center, their frame of reference is themselves. If my frame of reference is myself, then I will be profoundly unkind. openeth her mouth with wisdom. Ladies, never open your mouth if it's not with wisdom. Understand something. Women are designed to be responders. It is not a discriminatory design. In other words, a woman will respond to that which she will allow to be initiated. She will respond. She has no option. That's her design. This is why you have otherwise bright women who are like, for example, men, guys who are just jerks, who are very ungodly, unkind, young men perhaps, or older men even, with older women. But this is why it so frequently happens that an otherwise intelligent woman will go for a guy who's a total loser. Why is that? She's responding to that which he has allowed to initiate to her. And so this guy initiates to her, and she responds to him. Her response is not a discriminatory response. So she needs to be discriminatory in guarding her heart, because she will not be able to help herself but to respond. If a young woman does that, then the enemy will have a voice box. Did you know, ladies, that it's not uncommon for a voice box to be taken over by the enemy? For a tongue to speak Satan's words? And it often happens through the emotions. And sometimes it happens through women, simply because they are responders and they have not guarded their heart. It can happen with men also, where things are said that ought never be said to another person to cut them down out of anger or hostility or insecurity. Where God says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, and the speech is destructive and critical and harsh and negative. Why? Demons. That's why. Show me someone who's continuously critical, or someone who's continuously negative, or someone who's continuously cutting down, or someone who's continuously unkind, and I'll show you someone who's been continuously fellowshipping with demons and didn't even know it. Why? They didn't guard their heart. They didn't guard their heart. Often, they don't guard their heart because they are self-oriented. Self-orientation is exactly what Satan wants. That was what caused him to fall as Lucifer and become Satan. That is what caused Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge. That's exactly what Satan wants for women now. The woman of God has overcome self-orientation. And she has received the love and the kindness and the gentleness of God, to where she has fallen in love utterly with her Savior, so that nothing but the Savior's heart can come through her tongue. And on the occasion that she should happen to fail, she simply practices rebound, because she knows her Savior loves her. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Why is the law of kindness what is in her tongue? Because the first two characteristics of the love of God are patience and kindness. And mentality and attitude with its expression. So she is both patient, and kind. And that kindness reveals her patience, which reveals the love of God in her. Why? Because she's been transformed by God. And you know, so many women, they can listen to a message like this and say, I am not like that. Don't you realize this is not for performance sake? This is what God will transform you into if you draw near to Him. If you are faithful to be built up in the Word of God. If you trust Him. That whole thing with the law of kindness is so under attack today. Today the attack is be unkind. Build yourself up through tearing down. Compare yourself and see how you measure up, and then tear down so you can measure up better. But that's not God's ways. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. See, in Proverbs 16:32, the Word of God says, He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, a virtuous woman has the inner strength of God's character. And God says it's mighty. God says that this woman is greater than one who takes a city. But on the other hand, in Proverbs 25:28, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Why is that? Because the enemy can come in so easily and just take it right over. And this is what women are trained to do today, to have the enemy come in and take right over. Do you realize that you have an enemy? And your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not in your family. Your enemy is not in your workplace. Your enemy is not at your school. Your enemy is the one who seeks as a roaring lion going to and fro across the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. And the woman who cannot control her spirit because she has not been properly built up, mixing faith with what she hears, is like a wall, like a city with no walls. The enemy enters in and she belongs to him as a believer. Simply takes over her vocal cords, takes over her emotions, takes over her volition. But she was not designed for that. And in doing so, her soul takes a beating. Her self-image is completely destroyed. Because she was not designed for that. And resentment comes in, and bitterness, and anger, and strife, and venomous speech. She was designed to be the manifestation of the love of God. Because she had the character of God developed in her, and His strength became her character. That's what she was designed for. And yet how often does the enemy attack it with the unwitting consent of the woman herself? No. She was designed to receive the love of God. Gentlemen, do you realize that even if the woman is not your wife, even if you have no other interest in her than to open the door or to say hello, it is so vital that a woman be treated with kindness. That a woman be treated with gentleness. And great care. Why? Because the enemy wants to destroy the manifestation of the love of God. And guys, He frequently does it through men. Yes, she has a free volition. But then she doesn't need a man's cooperation with the enemy against her either. By not manifesting God's character to her. This is why the Word of God says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, as an application of that for single men who are not married, gentlemen, be kind to a woman whether you are intending to marry her or not. As Christ was kind to the church. Why? Because she's a soul with a capacity. And she responds. What are you giving her to respond to? If it's your ego, you're destroying her. And God holds the man accountable. And if a man destroys a woman because he is selfish or egotistical or unkind, because he is reactionary toward her, because he doesn't give her grace, because he doesn't help her as a husband ought, or as a man ought if he is not married to her. If he does not treat her properly like a woman, mark my words, God will hold him accountable for her mistakes. And her mistakes are going to be his responsibility. Why? Because he is an initiator and she is a responder. And it doesn't matter if they're not married. A man sees a woman in a grocery store in line and he is rude to her. God did not miss that. And their capacity has been somewhat damaged. And God will hold that man accountable. And whatever mistakes she makes because of that damage to her capacity will be his responsibility before God. Mark my words. A man must never utter an unkind word or a hostile word or a reactionary word to a woman. If he does, he is not yet a man. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Today's society, today's mentality, is to say, and I know so many young women like this, because their mind has become slothful towards the Word of God, and this is not always 100% cause and effect, don't misunderstand me, but when that happens, a very frequent manifestation of it is she is messy. She doesn't care for the household. Why? Because she hasn't cared for her own soul. And the condition of her soul can be reflected in the condition of her space. And that is not to say that every place that is somewhat messy is because of a slothful approach to the Word of God by any means. Because maybe sometimes it is just busy there, or lots of people there, or whatever. And that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, however, is if she is careless toward the Word of God, very frequently the space she lives in will be also representative of that carelessness. She won't care for that space. What's going on in the inside will be shown in the outside. And so her living area is very disheveled. And she doesn't care. It's okay with her that it's that way. But that's contrary to her design. It's normal for a woman to want a nice home that's clean and pleasant and a nice yard and those things. That is completely normal. That is a part of her design. It's normal for a woman to want her children looking nice. I'm not saying everything perfect, but looking nice. Those are normal things. Those are things according to her design as a mother and as a homemaker. It's normal for a woman to want to be a homemaker. Those are normal things. The mentality is women live crackpots. Will say, oh, got to take women out from that bondage. No, that's not bondage at all. It's according to their design. Try to deny their design and you put them into bondage. Those are the normal things. God gave them that nurturing instinct. Those are normal things. It's not normal for a woman to be lazy. That's her flesh. A godly woman will not desire to be lazy. I'm not saying that if a woman is tired, she won't want to just veg out for a day. That's just being tired. That's a far cry from being lazy. But I mean, it will be in her heart to take care of her children, to take care of her home, to take care of her family, to be a helpmate to her husband. That's in her heart. God had equipped her with that. He had given that to her. Those are normal things. Sometimes a woman wants a clean house and a guy doesn't want to cooperate and he criticizes her for it. That guy is dead wrong. Maybe he's tired and doesn't feel like doing the vacuuming. That's another story. But I mean, if all things are being equal, and she's trying to make a nice house, and he simply ignores her and blows her off, that's wrong. Gentlemen, never do that. That's wrong. That's not the way she was created. That's denying her design, and by denying her design, it's denying what God has done. So if you have a problem with it, take it up with God. He's the one who made her. It's normal for her to desire that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And this is, of course, if the children are not being rebellious and the husband is not being selfish. If he's a man of God. If he is a blessed man. By the way, those of you who are married, don't forget to praise your wife. It is imperative. Don't take it for granted that she does what she does, that you forget that she's a human being with a soul and a capacity and a heart. She's precious and she's tender and she needs to be built up. And God had given her to you to be a steward of His heart toward her. And if a man is not a steward of God's heart toward his wife, then the man is not a proper husband. Now, as husbands, it is our responsibility before God to be kind and edifying and building of our wives. And there's nothing wrong for her to do, to make a home for her family and her husband, or to cook dinner. Those are good things according to design. But if that man doesn't forget to praise her for it, he's wrong before God. As a matter of fact, he's in sin before God. because he is commanded here to do it. And to know what is right and do it not is sin. So gentlemen who are married, make sure you're praising your wives for the things that they do. Notice it. Not that they can't do it without it, but because it is God's heart towards her. Notice it. It builds them. It builds them. Gentlemen who are married, be extremely kind to your wives. Be extremely loving. And though you may have busy schedules, make some time in the day to be attentive. Make some time in the day, even if it's brief, make it quality though, that she has your attention. Why? Because God gave her to you. And you are a steward of His heart toward her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears God, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, this thing about beauty, there is a place for it. I mean, if the barn needs painting, then paint the barn. There is a place for it. But don't make it your identity. If it is your identity, then you have an empty identity. Because I don't care how beautiful the woman may be, when she's 80 years old, it's not going to be there. When she's 80 years old, she's going to have the same wrinkles as every other woman. But who she is in her soul, that will not pass. So build. Always build. And ladies, never allow that to become your identity. Because it will be an identity you cannot possibly keep. Is it a good testimony? Yes, it is. To look nice. It's not a good testimony to look sloppy if you don't have to. Doesn't say it has to be perfect or expensive. Is it a good testimony for a woman to have her hair done nicely, combed nicely? Doesn't have to be anything particularly fancy, but nice. Yes, it is a good testimony. But it's not a good identity. It's not a good identity. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But get this part. The woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Why? Because she's wisdom. She's practicing wisdom. The woman who's practicing wisdom is the woman who will be praised. That's the woman that God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There are many beautiful women in hell. Jezebel was perhaps one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. And she was probably demon-possessed. The beauty is not your identity. And if God granted you beauty, then use it to His glory. There are women, on the other hand, who become religious and they deny beauty altogether. And that is not wise either. Because God had made them that way. But it is not meant to be spent on my own vanity and identity. It's meant for the glory of God. So if a woman is beautiful, let it be to the glory of God. And if she is not beautiful, then let her do well with what she has, and she will become beautiful. I knew a woman, and this is not to be unkind, but I knew a woman for a number of years. She was an older lady, but not that old. She just wasn't a young woman. She was not very pretty. She didn't have a good face. But she could do her hair, and she knew how to make up herself, and she knew how to clothe herself in such a way that she was attractive. Because the thing is that the attraction that a woman has is not in her face nearly as much as it is in her soul. And you can have a beautiful face but look terrible because the soul is not right before God. And such a woman is highly unattractive. But a woman whose soul is right before God, who has the inner strength of God's character, is a beautiful woman. And it doesn't really matter how she looks in her face. But yet we are so trained that a woman's face is everything. But it is not. The heart of a woman is everything. You see, there's such a profound attack on women in this direction. It is not your identity, but it is not meaningless either. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what that is saying? That the tree is known by its fruit. Show me a woman who knows how to edify. Show me a woman who knows how to be kind in stress. Show me a woman who loves God, and that love comes out of her heart. And I'll show you a woman who is virtuous. But show me a woman who is constantly emotional, who can't bring herself under control, who has outbursts and there's nothing wrong with her except for her emotions. Show me a woman like that who can't bridle her tongue. And I'll show you a woman who is clamorous because she lacks the content of God's character in her heart. How does the woman become virtuous? Through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You see, her call and her design is very different from that of a man. But in some ways it's much greater. Because she was designed to manifest the love of God. She was designed to manifest the heart of God. But she was also designed to be a recipient of the love and the heart of God. And without receiving the heart and the love of God, she won't be able to manifest it. A woman needs to build herself up and guard her heart and guard her identity. She has to realize that her value is not in her outward production. Her value is what she has done in her heart. She doesn't have to pretend for people. She just needs to get to know the Savior. This is not something that can be produced through self-effort. This is something that God transforms her into as she draws near to Him, and then He draws near to her. Amen.